Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You rogue. Do you dare to beat an innocent cow because Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the carrier of the Gandiva bow, are out of sight? Since you are beating the innocent in a secluded place, you are considered a culprit and therefore deserve to be killed. Purport. In a civilization where God is conspicuously banished and there is no devotee warrior like Arjuna, the associates of Age of Kali take advantage of this lawless kingdom and arrange to kill innocent animals like the cow in a secluded slaughterhouses. Such murderers of animals stand to be condemned to death by the order of the pious king like Maharaj Parikshit. For a pious king, the culprit who kills an animal in a secluded place is punishable by death penalty, exactly like a murderer who kills an innocent child in a secluded place. Om Adhyana Timrandasya Chananjana Salakeya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Manopistam Stapitam Nubulutale Shrayam Upakaramayam Tatati Savapantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanavitamscha Sri Krishna Karno Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namo Sudhute Tapta Kanchana Gorenge Radhe Vrindavaneshware Vishnu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. So graphic are these verses. So, you know, it's like putting in a screen in front of your face to see the horrors of the world and what is happening, what has happened. When Lord Krishna left the planet, the bull, Dharma, and the cow, the bearer of religious principles and caretaker of the earth, that they're lost, they're feeling bereft, they've lost their patron, you could say, but their separation is the highest separation. They've experienced Krishna in their lives. They've touched them. He's touched them. He's their support. So they now remember him, but they have these feelings of terrible separation from him. And what I'd like to do is in these first verses, that in 17, there's certain theme I'd like to take up before we embark on the purport itself and the character of Maharaj Parikshit. So bear with me. Here we are. Excuse my hands, they're very cold. So, verse 1, Suta Goswami said, after reaching that place, Maharaj Parikshit observed the Loka Sudra dressed like a king. and was beating a cow and a bull with a club as if they had no owner. And sad to relate, you know, there's these things happen in this world, the innocents, they're beaten up. They're, you know, as we can see, this Sankirtan devotee here who was assaulted in his Sankirtan, you know, as if they have no owner. No owner means as though there's nobody taking care of them anymore. They're left in a world that seems that to take away our father and mother, you know, our caretakers, those who are looking after us. We're alone, it seems. The bull is white, this is text 2, the bull is white as a lotus flower. He was terrified by a suitor who was beating him. He was so afraid that he was standing on one leg. Now, verse, and he was trembling and urinating. And this is the horror story, really, of this world. It seems that there's cruelty in this world, unnecessary cruelty. And, you know, you could see with the treatment of any animal, which are protected in this Vedic age, they were protected, the animals were citizens as well. They had an understanding of the sanctity of life, that how precious it is, and that we're all spirit souls, and that we're the same family, and yet somehow or other, that we mistreat each other in this cruel world. And then it says in 3, although the cow is beneficial, one can draw religious principles from her, she was now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were beaten by a suitor. There were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in a field. So this is a mother. A cow is beneficial. The mother is beneficial. They draw upon religious principles. They bring up the children. They're like the guru of the family, you know. And they somehow have to look after these children in a world where the association for children is terrible. Somehow the influence of the age of Kali is all around them. And, you know, she's in danger of losing her cows. You know, she's in danger of losing her calves to this world of horrors. There are tears in her eyes, and she's distressed and weak because we're helpless sometimes. We can't protect our children at all the times in this age of Kali from this onslaught. And so she was beaten by sudras. There were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. And she was hankering after some grass in a field. She's looking for a place of peace, really. Some grass in a field. The nature of a cow is very wonderful. And they're really peaceful. They're satisfied, actually, with what they're given. The grass and the cow. But even when there's no grass, they still hunt around. They're picking at little bits here. They're amazing creatures. And in text 4, the Maharaj Parikshit, well equipped with bow and arrows and a bow, seated on a golden bronze chariot, spoke to the sudra with a deep voice sounding like thunder. Now, when you see something, somebody mistreated, it's shocking. And all of a sudden, you raise your voice. Stop it, isn't it? A voice like thunder, straight away, penetrating. He's seeing a horror that shouldn't be happening, not under his kingship. He's a great Mahatma, this Parikshit. And he's great in that he actually knows that he's very soon going to leave this planet. He knows he's going to be bitten by a snake bird. It was in his forecast, his, what do they call it? Astrological forecast. You know, he was given a forecast of his, what he'd be like and what was going to happen to him in his lifetime. And he knew, but somehow that didn't matter to him. He knew what he had to do. So he says, it's like we have to let go of all these things that threaten us from our past, our karmic cycle. We really, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, let all past be forgotten. We're on this path where actually there is a goal. He knew there was a goal. He knew he was going to be bitten. That was his fate. But also, he was a Mahatma. He was directly in contact with Krishna, a great soul. And so he said with a voice of sounding like a thunder, "Oh, who are you? You appear to be strong, and yet you dare to kill within my protection those who are helpless. By your dress, you pose yourself as a godless man, a king. By your deeds, you are opposing the principles of the twice-born Kshatriyas." You know, it's an interesting thing. It reminds me of King Bharat. When Bharat Maharaj, Judd Bharat, was helping with a palanquin. And the king inside it, because he was asked to help with the palanquin, he looked big and strong, you know. He gave a hand, but the palanquin started wobbling about because he saw ants on the road and he was trying to avoid them. He was a great soul, but the king didn't know. They thought he was a fool, an ignorant person. And the king chastised him, was sarcastic to him, tried to humiliate him. He was very strong. He took the insults. And then the king was chastised in this verse. He says here, the body of the king, here we go. But he says, he talks about how your body is temporary, and in the end it ends up as dust. Everything's temporary. So why do you think you can treat falsely people who are under you? So then it says, in fact, however, these innocent people who are carrying your palanquin without a payment are certainly suffering due to this injustice. Their condition is very lamentable because you forcibly engage them in carrying your palanquin. This proves that you are cruel and unkind. Yet due to your false prestige, you are thinking you're protecting the citizens. This is ludicrous. You are such a fool that you think you could not have been adored in a great assembly. You are a fool that you will not be adored in by a great man in the assembly of persons of advanced knowledge. He says that if you treat people like this, anybody who's got any knowledge knows that a king is a protector of the citizens. He should be looking after them, not treating them like slaves, carrying his palanquin and chastising them and humiliating them. He was under the modes of material nature. And text 5, continuing now, with the punishment and reward of Kali. O you who appear to be strong, and yet you dare to kill within my protection those who are helpless. By your dress, you pass yourself as a godly man, a king. But your deeds, you are opposing the principles of the twice-born Kshatriyas. Well, this speaks for itself. In the days with Parikshit, the kings were twice-born. They were had their birth by nature, and they were also initiated. They were given initiation. They were under guidance of the rishis, the saints. And so kings were guided. But he says here, you pose yourself. So, you know, there's an expression, oh, you poser, isn't it? You know, like this, the way we walk, the swagger, so many things. There's many people posing in this world. You know, you can see it in the political world. They're posing. They're looking for support. They're posing like for a picture. You know, every time they appear in public, they're thinking of what people might think of them. And that their livelihood hangs on what people think of them. They don't know about self-realization. They put their happiness in the hands of other people, in what their opinions are. So politicians, they go from that place to that place, like a monkey from tree to tree, trying to solve the hell of this world that's built as a prison, built as a place of suffering, not to make us suffer, as Bhaktisiddhanta says, but to make us realize this place is not our home, that we have to search for that place which is eternal in its nature, full of love and bliss, ananda, knowledge, and that we are fallen, that we've fallen this place. So we must take a humble position. This is Krishna's arrangement for us. Whatever is happening to us, we may suffer. But Krishna, he says in Bhagavad Gita, for one who sees me in everything and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. That we see Krishna in all the things that happen to us. Not that person, not that person, not that person. It's Krishna. He's teaching us. We have to understand that our suffering in this world, whether it be from other living entities or our associates, is due. It's a medicine of some sort to let us know that Krishna wants us to change our character. So we'll wait for the curtains. Sri Sri Radha Gokunanda ki jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai ki jai, Sri Sri Sitalam Lakshman Hanuman. Yes, he wants us to change our character. You know, Chaitanya, it means a character of the living force. What is the character of the living force? Anybody know? The real character. servant. Yeah, that's right. We're servant. And Lord Caitanya saw himself as a servant. But he was a servant in such a way, he showed us the path of devotional service. And his associates, Panchatattva, you know, they're wonderful, and it's very enlivening. So we have to know the character of the living force. But also, Lord Caitanya was Krishna himself. So he came in a way to serve us that we might know him better. To take the cloud and the dust from our mind and our heart and see who Krishna is. Because Krishna is the supreme servant. Actually, isn't he? He's given us everything. We can't exist without him. So the nature of the supreme is that of service. He's constantly serving his parts and parcels because they're very dear to him. Even though they're naughty, somehow he's hopeful that we'll adjust. And this is the position of our spiritual master. Their sacrifice. He's hopeful that these children need looking after and that they need guidance. So we have all these great souls who are guiding us on our path in this age of Kali, through Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And this is their power, or they've been empowered in such a way to give us help. And we must help them by following what they say. And that's a big service, because sometimes we don't even know we're not following. We're unconscious of ourselves. But we have other devotees to tell us here. Because when spiritual masters are around, we're very well behaved. Is it not true? Our character is very sweet and very watchful and careful. But when he's not there, what happens if we're not careful? Our old character kicks in. But actually, we should see everyone as Prabhu. This is the whole idea, isn't it? Whole idea that they are our spiritual master present. That we're their servant as well. And that we have to look after them. We have to follow as best we can what we need from each other, need to know from each other, and help each other in this wonderful society of ISKCON. So Prabhupada, some people, they say, we should know that ISKCON is all the people in it, isn't it? So if we start to criticize ISKCON, we criticize ourselves and others in it. That's the reality. That's what Prabhupada's trying to let us know. That actually, we criticize the members of the family. ISKCON is a special, you could say, empowerment that's come from, through Srila Prabhupada, from Krishna, to build a society without envy, without greed, without cruelty, and servants, just a bunch of servants. And I'll tell you what, if once you understand you're a servant, then it's good, because it's a humbling position. You don't have to aspire to be the boss or the best at anything. Whatever you're best at, Krishna's given you. It's for his pleasure. So it's not to make you great, it's to make you understand that you have an ability given by Krishna, that it's for his benefit. It's our motive that whatever we do, it should be for his pleasure. not our pleasure. So we have to look at ourselves in our motivation, that in whatever we do, so that we aren't these things it says in this day and age of Kali, you know, a demon in the disguise of a devotee. We've got to be careful not to be one of those. So there's analysis in the Bhagavad Gita. It says divine and demonic natures. If you look through that, it's a complete self-analysis, actually. You'll learn who you are, whether you have a divine nature or a demoniac nature, things that you want to improve on. It's just, you know, Krishna's helping us in so many ways, but he's doing it in a way that you should be introverted and that you should take guidance from this, but it's to help you. And it doesn't mean then that that you have to be beaten over the head all the time by each other. You should, at age, you know, whatever class, whatever you can get from this class, is take it away with you. Is what's this telling me about myself? What I need to know? I think I'll finish there. Questions? Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for reminding us and emphasizing all these simple things that we have to imply to make our spiritual life simple and wonderful. And I really like the point that you said, trying to meditate on it as much as you can. Whatever I'm doing, to do it for the pleasure of Krishna. Do you have some kind of a guidelines or maybe meditation when we are actually honoring prasadam? Which way we can honor prasadam so it could be actually for the pleasure of Krishna?
Yeah, when we're honoring prasadam, whatever it is, because, you know, we will look around us, each of you are Krishna's prasadam to each other. You know, is another form of his mercy expansions. That's the first thing to realize. So that's an appreciation. The association of devotees is definitely another form of Krishna's prasadam. And the other prasadam that satisfies the senses, this is by the grace of the Lord. Austerity means accepting, and I remember like Jambarat, he was treated very badly by his relatives. He was playing the part of an idiot in the world. He didn't want to become encompassed. So if everybody thinks you're an idiot, you're a safe place, because you're not aspiring to anything. It was his inner realization that was helping. He was constantly in his heart honoring and serving Krishna. So whatever he had come his way, he regarded as mercy, even the beatings and ill treatment from his brothers and sisters who thought he was an idiot. He didn't care. He took everything as mercy. But he wasn't a masochist in that way. He just understood what was more valuable to him than getting angry with these people who were mistreating him. He knew he had to keep hold of his inner peace and his inner service to the Lord. What he felt, how he was hearing and chanting the Lord all the time within his heart. That was his bhajan. That nobody could see inside of him what was happening amidst of his ill treatment. He just, when he was given bits of corn and dirty things to eat, he took it upon himself as this was nectar. And it's a very strange thing that somehow that he had this capacity because of his inner relationship with Krishna, that he was able to realize that this was prasadam too. This concept was amazing. But we can't do that. And Prabhupada says in the purport, we can't copy it. We're not like that. We can get sick. If something's wrong, something's happened, you know, you see mold on things and stuff like that. You just got to be careful, you know. You got to know it's still prasadam, there's no doubt. But some people have the ability to ignore that sort of thing. You know. But what we need to know is when honoring prasadam, that somehow this is mercy. Krishna's, this is his gift actually, to help us in our spiritual life, is purifying us from within. That's the real thing of prasadam. It's giving us satisfaction of the taste. It's like nothing else. They say this halva, I remember we're experiencing halva. I thought, my God, what is this? You know, and khichdi. You know, I thought, wow. You know, but I didn't realize not only was it a wonderful taste, it was purifying me from within. I've been tricked. But this is Krishna's favorable thing for the devotees. You don't want them to suffer. He's looking after us like Prabhupada looked after his disciples in the early days. He fed them continuously, showing them how to clean. And then all of a sudden, because of their affection for him, they started to want to help him. So they started to want to learn from him. It was a reflection of Prabhupada's love that they wanted to reciprocate. So Krishna reciprocates. They wanted to reciprocate. Prabhupada's Krishna, Shakshat Hari. They wanted to reciprocate his love. So what we should be doing is reciprocating Krishna's love and saying, feel gratitude. I think that's the thing. Know your good fortune. That will stop you moaning, you know, if you can see your good fortune. See the good in everything that's happening. So, any other questions? Thank you for the question. I don't know if that helps. Thank you. Yes, you do. Because others can hear on the internet.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Okay. Very wonderful class. I just have a question on prasadam. So you can deny prasadam if you just feel it isn't, like if it's old, or is that an offense to the prasadam? Because sometimes it's a health issue.
No, I think to call it old prasadam is the thing, because prasadam's prasadam.
Yeah.
But you can say, is it from yesterday, or is it from today, or is it from last week? You know, we can have these things, because some people, and I remember Gaugavinda Swami, he said, the nature of the person that understands the nature of prasadam is dependent on his faith in Mahaprasadam. And at the moment, we're also influenced by the most material nature. So if we think we might be sick, probably you will be sick. So you somehow have to adjust that of a Mahatma who takes everything as prasadam in all situations, and or your relative position as a human being under the most material nature, just trying to be careful for your own health, because somehow to have this sort of faith is something unusual, and we're not Mahatmas, though probably some of you are, you know, I don't know, but yet to be revealed. So we take our prasadam in the light of our own conception, try and get fresh prasadam, try and get there on time, try and get to prasadam, you know, that's the whole thing. Then, you know, these thoughts won't even have to enter your head, you know. It's when we accidentally keep something for a long time, and then all of a sudden you spot something you've left in your cupboard, and that's the worst. you know, because you're stuck with it and you've got to keep it. And you, theoretically, you should eat it, theoretically, because it's your own silliness. But if you think it might take you from your service, make you sick. Service comes first. You know, that's the qualification of anything. Service first. And if you're unsure, act upon your unsure. You just go like that if somebody offers you. You honor it. It is Mahaprasada. So you just touch your head to the forehead and respect it in that way. You know, understand you're limited in your, maybe, your mental capacity to, or realization. And that you want service above everything. You know, it's not that you're inferior or superior. It's just you can't accept who you are. And we're limited. And so that's all I can say really on that score.
Thank you. Wonderful explanation.
Okay. Any other points? Okay. Srimad Bhavatam Kija, Srila Prabhupada Kija, Taigora Premanandi Adigo. Thank you for your kind attendance.